Welcome back to the Daily Profcast. I'm McKenna.
I'm Erin.
And this intro is a little different than our standard intro we usually throw into the beginning of the episode, because today we have our first ever guest on the podcast.
We're so excited.
We are so excited. And we just really couldn't be more thankful that the wonderful Erin Moon stopped by to have a chat with us about Christianity and Harry Potter. Erin and I are both Christians, and we have both gotten asked to talk about how we can reconcile our faith and what the Bible teaches against a series that is on the outside all about witchcraft and prophecy and children waving their wands.
There are several verses that sort of warn against practicing witchcraft, but just specifically in Galatians 5, 19 through 20, Paul is warning that witchcraft is what he calls an act of the flesh. So like a sinful fleshly thing that we should not partake in as Christians. But so how do we reconcile our, you know, our love of Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit with, you know, not wanting to practice witchcraft? So that is our discussion we are having with Erin Moon today. She writes and edits Bible studies and devotionals. She's a senior creative for the Popcast Media Group and a resident Bible scholar on the Bible Binge podcast. And she does voiceover work, which is also really cool. So that's Erin.
You can find her on social media at Erin H. Moon. Erin Hicks Moon is her full name. So Erin H. Moon. And she has a new podcast out on The Bible Binge, which is just at The Bible Binge on Instagram. And then she is a content producer for The Popcast. Also, you can find them on Instagram and obviously on all podcast apps as well. And that's a like more pop culture podcast that she does, but she's great. And we had a really wonderful conversation with her. So we're really excited for you. We have two Erins on the podcast.
Not confusing at all.
Not confusing at all. We have a regular old Erin who everybody already knows, and we have new Erin. Erin, do you want to tell our listeners just a little bit about you?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Erin Moon. I am the senior producer at the Popcast Media Group. I have I also am the gentle rebuker. I'm the resident Bible scholar on the Bible Binge. I have a podcast myself called Faith Adjacent, where we talk about kind of sending up our faith antenna to see if we can get reception in unlikely places. So we're going to do that today a little bit, yeah, which I'm excited about. And I have three kids. There's a lot of kids and one spouse. So
it's a good ratio.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's a solid mix there. Yeah.
Better than one kid and three spouses.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So I guess to get us into the Harry Potter realm a little bit, we have some Harry Potter related questions for you to start off.
Already, I've been waiting my whole life to just sit and talk about Harry Potter.
Yes.
I'm so happy.
This is the reason we started the podcast. We're like, we just want to talk about Harry Potter with each other for 3 hours.
That sounds great.
All right, so we're going to start off light here. Your first intro into the Harry Potter series.
You know, I started reading the books my senior year of high school. So I was a little older than the regular kind of like entry point. Mm-hmm. And because they had just kind of started coming out at that point. And I loved them so much. And I was frequently mocked by the rest of my scene. I'm like, not in like a real way, not real persecution, but like, why are you reading a kid's book? And I was like, I don't know. I just really like it. I think it's good. And this was kind of before all of the witchcraft narrative that we have been spun. So it was just a good, I really like young adult literature. I like children's literature. I always have. One of my favorite books is The Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Baisley Frankweiler. And I love the Narnia book. So I've always loved that genre anyway. And so it was just a really good fit for me.
Great. That's delightful. I love that. I love that you were reading them as a senior and you're like, it's just great. Like,
I don't know you. It's just really good.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, Erin, what is your Hogwarts house?
I'm a Gryffindor.
Yes.
I will say that I may have cheated on the test, but as we know, we can tell the sorting hat what we want to be. So
amen.
I don't feel bad about it anymore.
That's awesome.
Friends of fellow Gryffindor for you. So there yes. you go.
Another one for Team Gryffindor. Yes. All right. Do you have a character in the series that you most identify with?
You know, I don't know if I have one that I most identify with. I like for a long time, I said Draco because I feel like Draco yes. is a three and I am an Enneagram three.
Yes.
And, yeah. So I get him. Like I want him to be better. He's an unhealthy three, but I want him to be better. But I strive. I'm like on a lifelong quest to emulate Minerva McGonagall with everything inside of me. I want to be like, just, I want that kind of like sharp Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like not interested in your BS kind of vibe. I like it.
I love that.
Yeah, yes, I love that for you.
It's a good energy.
It's
go ahead, Emma. Go ahead.
I was gonna say it's funny you say that about Draco being a three because we did an Enneagram episode. And
he did you really?
Yeah, we did. He was very easy to put into the three box.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately,
he ticks a lot of our boxes.
Yeah. All right, and then lastly, if you could have any magical item from the Harry Potter universe. What would you choose?
This is so easy for me. It's the Pensieve. I would love, because I frequently feel like I'm just like every day that passes by, I'm forgetting something magical or beautiful about my kids or about life. And I'm like, I'm too lazy to journal. I don't want to journal. Please don't make me journal. And so I would really love to just pull that thread out. Stick it in a tub next to the bed.
Get some popcorn.
And be able to come back later.
Yeah.
Or like, what if I had the Pensieves of my ancestors? God, how great would that be?
That would be great.
What if you had a generational Pensieve and it was just all of your people's things and you just kept adding to it and you could go for a little dive when you wanted to? God, it'd be so great.
That would be incredible. I'd never even thought about that before. And I spent a lot of time thinking about Harry Potter.
I'm going to say that is now my new magical object.
Yeah, that was a great
answer. Forget the Nimbus 2000. I want the Pensieve.
I mean, the Nimbus 2000 would be really cool. So I don't blame you for that.
But the wand can do your house chores for you.
That's true. It's absolutely true.
So one of the reasons we wanted to do this episode, both Erin and I are Christian, grew up in the evangelical faith realm. And people have always asked me, how can you like Harry Potter when the Bible expressly says, you know, not to get involved with sorcery or witchcraft or anything like that? Mm-hmm. And I think we've both had really hard conversations with ourselves and with each other for a long time about, can you reconcile both? Can you love God and also really, really like Remus Lupin?
Yeah. These are the questions I want to answer, quite frankly.
Well, we're so glad you're here to do so.
Well, I mean, I think like, so I look at a lot of Galatians, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really where Paul is talking about this, like living by the spirit and the desires of the flesh. And he specifically mentions sorcery there. And there's a lot of other places, like the Bible is anti-witchcraft and I get it. I understand it. They're talking about, hey, don't practice witchcraft. Paul had no vocabulary. There was no understanding in Paul's world that imagined and on the side of a moral and just wizard who would use their powers for good, you know, like there is that did not exist in Paul's imagination, not because he's stupid, but just because that was never like, that would be like trying to explain cell phones to Paul. Like that's not possible. So, you know, I like to think about it in this way of, you know, there are a lot of things that are living by the, like, what are the desires of the flesh, right? So, you know, he's talking about like fornication, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, and you just, and like envy. And it's not, I think we do ourselves a real disservice when we don't critically think about things. So on the, on a level of, on a very like base level, a very surface level. Yeah. Harry Potter is about witchcraft. It just is. But what is, what, how are we critically thinking about it? It's not really about witchcraft. It's about like good versus evil. It's about friendship. It's about love. It's about sacrifice. It's about so many other things through a lens of, hey, we're wizards and we have wands. Like it's a narrative device. So I really like to think about this idea of like, what is it stirring up in you? Is it stirring up in you a desire to cast spells in the name of Satan? Well, then maybe not. Maybe we don't want to do it.
Right.
But is it stirring up in you a desire to like, you know, like put like, unite for good or good against evil, that kind of a thing? I think that's what Paul was looking at. Like it's a lack of critical thinking that makes the jump to, well, Paul said, don't practice witchcraft. And if you read Harry Potter, you're practicing witchcraft. Well, not really. You know, I think that's something that we lack a lot of now.
Nuance.
Yes, exactly.
So black and white. When we were researching a little bit for this episode and thinking about in general, I stumbled upon an old Focus on the Family article.
Oh, how exciting.
Yes. Good old Focus on the Family. And they were talking, you know, about how children should expressly not be allowed to read the books or see the movies, and how it should be banned literature, especially within churches and Christian schools. And I mean, do you think that the church, capital C, has just a overall big problem with kind of trying to whitewash the content that we share with each other?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, you know, content that is violent or sexual, and you say, I'm not going to look at anything like that. Well, you're going to have to not look at a good part of the Bible. Right. So, you know, I think in a lot of ways we've really confused clean and true. So like, so the best example I can give you is like clean. Hallmark Channel is clean. It's not offensive. There's no bad words. Nobody's having sex. But is it true? And again, I think we go back to this idea of like, what is it stirring up in you, right? Is maybe the Hallmark Channel for me is just a fun, like a fun thing to do on a Saturday night, but maybe for someone else, it's stirring up envy. Maybe it's stirring up jealousy or strife. And in the same way that Harry Potter could be viewed as stirring up, you know, what sorcery. What's the hallmark? I think we've, and so is it true? Is it encouraging you? Is it empowering you to live a more Christ-like life? Well, it could for some people, and then for some people it couldn't. And I think we need to like look at a spectrum of nuance there, as opposed to just saying like, we're missing out on so much when we just say like, well, it's bad. It's just bad. And we can't do anything about that. Well, maybe for some people that's true, but maybe for others it's not.
Mm. Like I'm being preached to right here.
Oh dear, I don't want that.
No, in a good way, very good way.
It's like a good Friday morning sermon.
Yes, exactly. Just when we want one.
Yeah.
As a parent, as a Christian parent, how do you introduce these topics to your kids?
Yeah, I think for like my eldest daughter, she really loves Harry Potter. And I have to tell you, everyone was so afraid when these books came out of like what it would do to the children, mm-hmm. you know, and it has only served as a diving board for me and my eldest daughter to talk more about faith, you know, for her to ask questions about what does it mean to be this kind of person, or why would this character do this? And I think that is the gift that fiction so often gives us, is a way to kind of navigate our own lives. And it's an open door to explore, to think, to understand our faith better. And I think when we chop ourselves off from that, we really miss out on a lot of rich understanding. And it's, you know, my children have read Harry Potter. They've watched Harry Potter. Neither of them have expressed any interest in becoming witches. So we're doing good so far.
Yeah, it's true. Out of all of the Harry Potter, the many Harry Potter fans I know, I don't think I know anybody who is going into the satanic path.
Yeah, no, I haven't come across that yet. And I'm sure there is, but I haven't come across it yet.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of the church environment you grew up in to kind of how you practice now?
Yeah, so I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. I was an evangelical. I have nothing bad to say about my experience there. I loved my church. I loved my pastor. I never felt like it was just a performance for them. It was all really meaningful, and it was a really special place. You know, I the point where I got married in the church that I grew up in, and it holds no bad memories for me. But as I got older and I started working in a parachurch ministry, where part of my job was to create services for camps and conferences and that kind of thing. And it was a great job. My parents were super thrilled that I was using the theater degree that they paid for. That was exciting for them. And it became a real muddled for me what was work and what was worship. And so my husband and I, we started thinking about where we might go. It wasn't like we were done with the church. It wasn't like we were done with Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit. We just needed something that kind of made that line a little better. And we had a friend recommend an Anglican church to us. And we've been there for 11 years now. And we are fully Anglican. Like, we're like baptizing our infants, and there is, you know, incense in the thing swinging down the, I mean, it's the whole bag. So, it's not perfect. We've really, especially kind of here lately, kind of gone through some deconstruction, reconstruction kind of stuff that, isn't bad, just a kind of cleaning out of old things and reconsidering them. And that's kind of where we are right now.
Very cool.
I love that.
I went to grad school in Texas, and I was a section leader in a Episcopalian church, and loved it. That's great. The Anglican. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
Aaron's also an arts degree.
I did opera. Operatic voice performance. Yeah,
that's cool. That's really cool.
So theater major adjacent.
We were all in the same department. We know how it is. Yeah.
You talked a little bit about how you started reading the series your senior year in high school. Did you feel at the time like you were touching a forbidden fruit, so to speak? Or how has your journey gone starting to find sacred themes and, I guess, otherwise secular texts?
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes from being a theater major and being interested in theater, because we're often, you know, we were given the tools to look beyond just the text and to find the subtext. And so I might be saying to someone in character, I love you, but I don't mean that. And so I think that has always been something that I've found really interesting. There's always something else that's been going on in the text, and not that I had really great English teachers growing up who taught me about how to critically think through work and not take things just at face value, but to dig deeper and see what the author was really trying to say. And so I think that I had really good teachers who helped me understand how to do that.
Thank you, teachers.
Thank you, teachers. You're so great.
Do you find biblical themes in the Harry Potter text? You said a little bit when you talking with your daughters and reading the books.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that whole last book is just a big old Jesus metaphor. Like, whatever she wants to say, that's fine. Like, whatever JK wants to say about that, that's fine. But I mean, it is resurrection. It is sacrifice. It is prophecy. It is, I mean, it's, you can't look at that and not see Christ in that. And I think that is what is such a helpful lens to look at when you're reading something that's not specifically sacred. Do you know what I mean? Like it's very, I think it's important to look for those things, to try to find those things, to see what's there underneath the surface. Otherwise it's like just a thought exercise as opposed to a faith exercise. So I think, I think Harry Potter is rife with that, unfortunately. So whether she meant to or not, she did.
Yeah. And the verse that, for me, the verse that comes to mind is there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what Harry Potter is about from the start.
Yeah.
With James and Lily.
And there's so many biblical references just all up. I mean, the tombstones and, you know, all of the fox, and there's just, it's too rife. It's too much. It's a English major's dream.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm thinking through a little bit now as we're talking about this, Dumbledore, like what role he plays in the sort of biblical narrative into the text.
Well, and I think different characters are, you know, they identify with different biblical themes or characters at different times, right? Like so long, Snape felt so much like this kind of almost redeemed Judas character, like, and we didn't know why he got to come back, and then, you know, figuring out why. And so it changed how we saw Snape, even though he's still a terrible person. Cause he was
Oh no. McKenna's favorite character is Snape.
I mean, I'm sorry. He's so mean to children, children.
She does admit that.
he is deeply flawed.
Yes, he is.
But I think it's very transparent that he's deeply flawed.
Yes, I think you're right.
You know, and there's so many other, I won't say good things, but very interesting things about him.
I agree with you. He's interesting for sure.
And I feel like that was the one character where I feel like she had a concrete plan entire time.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
I read an article, it was like an old MTV article, I can link it in the description, but where she tried to go back later, this is after the seventh book is published, and say that it really was a Christian series the whole time. And I'm not entirely convinced I believe that, but yeah. I feel like she was trying to double down on that.
For sure.
There are a lot of things the author says post publishing the series that I'm like, I don't know that I consider that canon, even though it's from your mouth. But anyway, it's so funny because I'm finding now among the fandom, and it's really cool with the Harry Potter fandom, because like, I know a lot of fans felt like the fandom was sort of going to die out after the seventh movie, or the eighth movie rather, came out, but it's sort of resurged, especially among young audiences. And which is cool, but you know, with our sort of critical 2020 eye, now I'm finding that a lot of people are looking at the book. So McKenna and I had a discussion on our last episode. Somebody sent in a question. It was like, is Dumbledore good or bad? And we were like, that's something I never even thought about when I was reading it as a kid. Like, I was just like, oh, look at this like happy Santa Claus character. But now with our, like, as adults, now that we're rereading and like with our 2020 lens, I feel like a lot of the book is getting really examined and picked apart, which is great. But many people are coming forward and being like, this character is bad. This character is bad. This character is bad. Look at the bad thing they did.
Yeah.
And what I find to be so sort of beautiful about Harry Potter is there, and just this is how life is, there's no perfect character.
Exactly.
Everyone does something, you know, all the characters sort of have their good choices and their bad choices, just like real people. Can you maybe talk about how you examine that now as an adult?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's hard to put the same standards on a fictional character that you would like a real person. They're flawed. They have to be flawed. Do we like the idea of Dumbledore being bad or good? Well, I mean, yes, he is both. if we dropped him into real life, he would be just like you or me, and we contain multitudes, and we make bad decisions and we make good decisions. And but I think to criticize, look, I'm all for criticizing things. I love criticizing things. It's my favorite. But I think we do ourselves a disservice. And I think those conversations are important. They are, because that's just another way to examine the text to say like, okay, well, we said that, you know, for so long we thought that Dumbledore was a hero. Is he really a hero? Well, it's, you know, I think about like, for so long we thought Joe Fox in You've Got Mail was so great. He's not a great guy. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to examine that because it's hard to see like your faves go down. But I think at the end of the day, we use that as a tool for critique, and we use that as a tool to grow closer to the text and to see what it reveals to us about us.
Right. That was sort of an off the script question, by the way, for the listeners. I just sort of attacked Aaron with that, but that came to mind. And that was a fantastic answer.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah. I have another off-script question. I'm a little swipe, and
I love that.
Yeah, I'm a dedicated little swipe, and I've followed a lot of the things you've written for a while. But you talked, I guess, maybe end of last year, early this year, about kind of wanting to be an Enneagram Zero, yes, and sort of taking a break from the Enneagram. I'm kind of wondering, when we consider sorting 11-year-olds into houses, do you have similar feelings about that as to kind of why you wanted to walk away from the Enneagram a little bit?
Well, my main reason for wanting to walk away from the Enneagram is because I didn't like anyone knowing my weaknesses, like right off the bat, which is like a very three thing to say, unfortunately. But I think, you know, with anything, we tend to get obsessed with stuff and then we just devalue it to its most basic, non-nuanced version of itself. And we're catering to the lowest common denominator. And so I was super annoyed with pretty much every Enneagram account on Instagram. And I was like, I'm not just like these four things. Plus, when I tell you that I'm an Enneagram 3, you automatically know that I'm really vain and I'm super prideful. And I don't want everyone to know that. I'm trying to hide that from you. So I think personality tests and in the way that we use the sorting hat because of, you know, the website and Potter World and all that, I think it's or Potter Board, but I think we use that as like a, we forget that there's nuance to people, that they're not necessarily going to just fall under those, you know, four things. What's that tweet that's like the guy who comes to propose the four houses to the headmaster is like, what if kids were brave, smart, fun, or evil?
Yeah, it's what is it? He's like, okay, so we all know that there are four types of kids, brave, smart, evil, or miscellaneous.
Yeah, that's what it is. Poor Hufflepuffs. But but you just go like, well, that's, I mean, yeah, I may find, and so that's why I've really liked all these people that are doing like, I'm a Griffin, a Slytherin or whatever, you know, like just kind of mixing those. I mean, I think any personality test is going to devolve you to its like the most basic parts of yourself, but they're good tools. So we've said forever that we're like my oldest, my youngest, and myself are Gryffindors. My husband is a Hufflepuff and our middle is a Slytherin. And she's very cunning and she's super smart. And she is like, she knows exactly what she wants. She knows how to get it from you. But my eldest was like, that means that you're bad. Like, girl, no, it doesn't. Don't say that to her either. Like, that's not okay. So we stopped talking about our houses for a while. We found that to be unproductive.
I'm a Slytherin and I love that energy.
Yeah, she's got good energy.
You know, yeah, we Slytherins get unfairly demonized.
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, when your mascot is a snake, it's hard. It's tough.
Yeah, nobody likes a snake.
You have some bad PR like right out the gate.
What is your favorite book out of the series, if you could pinpoint it, and or storyline in general that it gives you, I guess,
I think it's Prisoner... Yeah, I think it's Prisoner of Azkaban for sure. It's my favorite book.
I feel so outnumbered here.
I'm so sorry.
She's a Gryffindor. She likes Prisoner.
I really love Sirius. I loved his character in the movie and in the books. The whole like Time Turner stuff was so just, I felt like that was the first book where she was writing for young adults, like mm-hmm. instead of kids, which I don't begrudge her for doing that, but it was just like, it was good. It was complicated. I love time travel as a narrative plot point. It's one of my favorite things. If I was smart enough, I would write a time travel novel, but I'm not, so I can't. But, and I loved the whole thing. It was probably like, I was close to giving up after Chamber of Secrets because I didn't love Chamber of Secrets. But that's what hooked me forever.
So that's actually where we are on our sort of reread journey through the podcast. We're
oh, yeah.
going to record our next episode, which is ending Chamber of Secrets. And then we're on to Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, so good. It's so good.
Oh my gosh. You're speaking my language and your name's Aaron. I'm finding a lot of similarities here.
Now
yeah, it's great. Yeah, we're all vibing. It's good.
We're doing a season per book currently, mm-hmm. and then we do kind of like one, I call it a fun episode, but they're all fun episodes really. Like so that. In our reading of Chamber of Secrets, we learned that at Chamber of Secrets is where all the controversy in the Christian community like really spread
yeah.
like wildfire. I guess throwing children into Sorcerer Snake Dens was not a good
yeah
book.
That was, I mean, it's not, to be fair, I would have pulled my kid from Hogwarts a long time before any of that happened, so I get it, but still it seems a little ridiculous for fiction.
Yeah, Hogwarts is a little child endangerment.
No
yeah.
safer place than Hogwarts, or no safer place than Gringotts, except maybe Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Neither of those.
I feel like that's fake news, but
yeah. Yep. Aaron, perhaps this is gonna be a little unfair since we just read the book and now we're like gonna ask you about Chamber of Secrets, but like reading it, I was trying to, McKenna, you brought that up at the beginning of our Chamber of Secrets series, and I was like going through the book, I was trying to be like, what in here content wise that was different from the first book would the Christian community be having extra trouble with? Like I couldn't pinpoint anything that was like a new plot point of that book that like suddenly all the Christians are like, this is wrong, you know? Like I couldn't find it in there. Do either of you have ideas about that? Because I'm generally curious.
I think it's mainly just we fear what we don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I would love to know the ratio of pastors or, you know, family organizations that were anti-Harry Potter who actually read it. And because I think if you read it, you're going to find that that's not the case. It's not what you think it is. No one's making pagan circles on the playground after they're reading it. That's just, it's not what we're doing.
Yeah.
I would be interested to know those numbers.
Yeah, I would bet very, very few people.
I would agree.
Yeah, I don't think the writer of the Focus of the Family article was, really that
going to the
beat on the Harry Potter world. Yeah.
I mean, maybe, but I don't know.
And you've been bringing up great points this whole time, but you bring up a great point again, unless you're like inherently witchcraft is satanic, like biblically, that's like sort of the black and white that we're given, but mm-hmm. like there's, other than sort of the Tom Riddle Voldemort character, there's nothing that jumps out to me as inherently like satanic about Harry Potter, like,
yeah.
like demonic, you know, other than like what is meant to be, which is like the Death right. Eaters and the soul splitting with the Horcruxes and the, you
right.
know.
And I go, you can't have good without evil. Like
yeah.
it's, you know, it's meaningless if there's no villain. So you have yeah. like, I have patience for people, but I don't have a lot of patience for people who don't like, they want to attack storytelling for being storytelling. Well, that you have a problem with the medium, not the content.
Yeah.
So.
And you brought up a good point earlier that the Bible is chock full of disturbing content.
Yeah, absolutely.
To say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think about all the like Tamar, and I think about even the way we talk about like creation and the fall and Abraham and Isaac, and you know, we just don't even talk about Hagar, and it's just like, it's just very dark. The way we talk about the plagues is just like, oh, they had locusts, it's so cute. I don't think it was I don't think it was cute. Yeah. So I think it's hard to want to eradicate all of that in your life if you still want to have like fidelity to scripture and understand scripture and read the Bible.
Yeah.
Preach.
I think you brought up in your article regarding Game of Thrones, how we think of Noah's Ark as like the little animals on the boat and everything is fine, but we kind of erase the aftermath of Noah and all the troubles that he lived through.
Well, and I mean, even just the whole decimation of all of the human population.
Yeah.
We frequently forget that part. You know, one of my kids, when she was younger, she was constantly obsessed with if God killed the baby dinosaurs. Like, she's like, does God kill the baby T-Rex? And it was like, I was so, and she was little when she asked this question. It was so surprising to me, but it was so eye-opening that she's asking these hard theological questions. She's not ignoring them. Like, it sounds like a funny question on the surface, but really she's asking a hard theological question about God. And I think that's when I kind of realized we're not doing kids any kind of service ignoring the hard parts of scripture. I'm not saying like show the first grade Sunday school class Braveheart, but I'm saying like they're going to turn 14 at some point and they're going to ask why they were lied to about a story. So kids can handle more than we think, and they are smarter than we think often. Now, they also just eat pizza rolls and they, you know, they're also kids. So we have to look at that with some biblical wisdom and knowing your kid and what they can handle. But I think we shouldn't shy away from that stuff just because they're young.
Yeah. I feel like we don't give kids the opportunity to make their own determinations about things. We just feed them what we want their narrative to be. You know, it's like only showing Hallmark Channel, like you were talking about earlier.
Yeah. And I think like in some cases that's good because I don't want my kid finding Braveheart or Game of Thrones like outside. I don't want them scrolling my Netflix to find that.
Yeah.
But I also think, you know, and I want them to view the world through a, you know, faith lens. I do. I want that. I want them to know Christ. I want them to have the Holy Spirit and have that inside of them. So yeah, to some point we're all doing that, but I think often we forget that kids are their own people, and we kind of debase them to being like little us's when, and that never works out because you're either going to get someone whose faith is not their own when they turn 20, or you're going to get someone who's so angry that their faith is not their own, that they're going to go in the completely opposite direction. And so the best thing I think is letting them ask questions and letting them say things that are wild and crazy. Like, did God kill the baby dinosaurs? And looking at that with like, okay, well, let's talk about it. Like, not dismissing it or, you know, I think I want those lines of communication to always be open with my kids. And I mean, I don't get it right often, but I think that's the best thing that we can do for them is to know like, hey, your questions aren't stupid. They're not silly. I mean, sometimes they are, but like they mean more to them than they do to us. But I think we're doing them a disservice to not let them engage like that.
Engaging in the content with them, like being there with them. That's so great. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I had somebody from my previous church I'm not at anymore say to me, if you engage in Harry Potter and you're reading the books and you're like doubling down on being part of that sin, then it's like a gateway drug into everything else.
That's interesting. I guess if you look at it that way, then you have to look at everything as a gateway drug.
Right.
Which to a point, maybe it is like if, and I will stand by if you like, if Harry Potter makes you want to like not love Jesus, like stay away from it. Don't do that. But if it's stirring up something else in you, that's not like, it's neutral, right? It's a tool. We get to choose what we do with it. And so I think that is the plus. I think people don't, they lack the tools to critique things in a like in a productive way. And so when you're calling someone reading a book sin, without knowing that person and without like understanding who they are and what they, how they process information and what moves them and what stirs into them. So I think that's a little, it's a little pompous for me, but.
That's the catchphrase that like, that anti-Harry Potter Christians have used is like, well, it's a slippery slope. If you're liking Harry Potter, then, you know, tomorrow you could be brewing a potion. Like, you know, like,
right. And what? I mean, maybe, but I don't think so. Again, I've never met anyone who started reading Harry Potter and then became a Satanist. So
yeah,
they could be out there, but I've never met them.
Aaron and I have talked about a lot as we were rereading is that Harry Potter feels like such a low risk way to introduce kids to a lot of really difficult topics like death. Mm-hmm. I think that was my first real introduction into like, oh my God, people die. And it's like, it's okay to feel really sad about that and to have a lot of complex emotions about that. And I like what you said about how you kind of are going through it with your kids rather than just handing it over and letting the questions go unanswered. Yeah,
because who knows? They could be brewing a potion in the kitchen if I turn my back on them. So,
Polyjuice, they'll all switch.
Yeah. Well, listen, that would not be bad. So they can switch all they want. I would be interested in that dynamic.
That is so funny.
I do have one last question. If Paul was with us in 2020.
Oh, boy.
What house would he be in?
Oh, my gosh. That is a great question. I think Paul would be in Ravenclaw, but he would be mad that he's not in Gryffindor.
Oof.
That is a great answer.
Yeah.
That is my answer for that. Yeah. I think he'd be mad about it.
Oh my gosh.
I love that. That's a really good answer. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Really appreciate this.
Thank you for thinking of me. I love chatting about this stuff. So thanks.
This is delightful. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah.
My pleasure.
And we have a good amount of listeners who I don't know that everybody is a Christian. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like you've been a fantastic ambassador into what are Christians actually like other than, you know, what we sort of get portrayed to be.
That's great.
Thanks for listening to our latest episode. As always, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. And if you're not a listener on Apple Podcasts, it would still help us out a lot if you head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. If you have any questions, comments, concerns about anything you heard in this episode today, please drop us a line at our Anchor profile. You can leave us a nifty little voice message there, or you can head to our Instagram @thedailyprofcast to DM us or leave us an email. Thank you.